What is up, everybody? Thank you all for joining me on the latest Mortcast, part of the CSG Network. I am, of course, your host, Jeff Morton. Okay, the Denver Nuggets eliminated the Los Angeles Lakers and beat them, I believe, 106-104 in a really great, I mean, 108-106. That's the score. I know what I'm talking about. Really, I wouldn't call that a great game. I think that would be stretching things a bit to call it a great game, but I would call it a competitive game that never really got beyond, I think the biggest lead of the game was like 9 points. So it was between 10 points the entire game. The Lakers were up by about 7-8 points in the second. The Nuggets reeled them back in. It was a three point game at halftime. The Lakers got it up back 9 in the third quarter, and then the Nuggets went on a big run led by Michael Porter Jr., who I'll be talking about in this podcast. And it was nip-tuck through the rest of the game. And then Jamal Murray wins the game in his second game in this series on a last second shot. And he scored like over 30 points, 32, 34 points in this game. So there are things to talk about, but the main point I want to focus on is Mike and how Mike basically was by far, other than Nikola Jokic, the most consistent player in this series. And quite frankly, shooting wise, he was more consistent than Nikola Jokic. This was really, truly a national coming out party for Michael Porter Jr. There's this entire series was a little different because of partially due to the way the Lakers were covering the Nuggets, and partially due to just Jamal being off in this series. The Nuggets were struggling to shoot the ball, and the person who was able to actually do it was Michael Porter Jr. Michael Porter Jr. is basically, there's two of these games, I believe actually both the game-winner games in Game 2 and Game 5, where basically Mike carried the Nuggets offense through stretches of time. And in a show of what I think is where Mike is as opposed to a couple of years ago, Mike played 46 minutes in this game and didn't seem to tire. And there is just a level of Mike that we haven't seen before, and it has made the Nuggets, even when they play poorly, and I will get to that in the second half because there's something important to talk about with the way the Nuggets approach this series that I think everyone should be a little annoyed at them that, and I don't think it'll apply to it won't apply to the Minnesota Timberwolves series, but it applies to this one, and I'll get to that in the second half. But I want to talk about Mike first. You know, if you would have told me in 2020 when Mike was having some big games in the bubble, but then he was being actively hunted by switches by the Utah Jazz in that opening round series against the Nuggets, and Mike just looked like he was not ready yet. And to be fair, even though it wasn't his rookie season, it really was his rookie season. It was the first season he played. It was interrupted by COVID. A lot of different things happening right there. And Mike was actively hunted on defense, and he just didn't translate very well. We kind of wanted Mike to have more of an impact than he did at that moment in time. It was a weird time for everyone. In the next year, you know, the Nuggets had midway through the year traded for Aaron Gordon, and they appeared to be headed on this track. And one of the things people miss, other than the fact that Aaron Gordon really added that extra thing that the Nuggets really needed, he added that thing. the Nuggets were able to play a different style. And if anyone who watches the Nuggets now and then watches them in 2020 when they had Jeremy Grant, or even before that, this Nuggets team doesn't do the same thing. They're much more of a tough team. One of the things that Gordon provides is that dunker spot thing. And it has allowed the Nuggets to be able to get that interior toughness. It really carried them through last year in the playoffs. Gordon was absolutely huge last year in the playoffs, and his ability to play backup center really helped them out too. But I'm going to kind of talk about Mike and that period that we all missed in those 8-9 games that before Jamal tore his ACL in April of 2021. We forget that Mike actually really played a different way when Aaron Gordon was traded here. It wasn't like he wasn't playing poorly. It was he adapted. And he adapted in a way that I think people should have probably clocked, and myself included, clocked before we made analysis of Michael Porter Jr. And this is something that Tim Connelly saw as that trade and the aftermath unfolded, where the Nuggets won 8 straight games, and then they lost that weird game to Boston. And which Mike had a terrible game. I think that was the game where Mike missed every shot. That could be that one where he was like 0 of 9 in that game. That's one of those Boston games he did. And really what happened is that Mike had adapted to Aaron Gordon being here, and he was trying more on defense, which was the big key for him. Well, then Jamal gets injured and everything gets messed up. And we all know what happened in the 2021 playoffs, in you know, the 4-game sweep at the hands of the, it's 4-game sweep at the hands of the Phoenix Suns, and it wasn't great. He was being hunted in the previous series, just actively hunted on defense, and it wasn't great, even though the Nuggets prevailed in that series. The next year, 9 games into the year, Mike has to have another back procedure, 2022. So he misses that entire year. And one of the things that we have seen this year is that Mike played 81 games, and he only missed one game because he didn't bring the right shoes, which is the weirdest reason to miss a game I've ever seen in my life, but it is what it is. And but what we've seen from Mike this year, even if he's had his usual up and down through the season, when Mike has dedicated himself in a way that I think we has gone largely unappreciated, because we focus on Jamal and we focus on Jokic, but we didn't focus on Michael Porter Jr. really becoming, I wouldn't say more professional, but dedicating himself to the game. I think Mike really is the guy that loves basketball on this team. He is just a real hoopers know kind of guy, and it's not in a chucker sense, but in a guy just like loves the game of basketball, which I'm sure has saved him with what's been going on with his brothers the last 2 years. And a guy who loves basketball that much is going to obviously love the process. And we underestimated that part with Mike, because we focused on the other things. Like some of the things he's talked about on his podcast, I'm like, what are you doing? He's had some great episodes, but some weird episodes. And some of that, I'm sure, comes from being raised in a homeschool environment, and maybe some social cues he didn't pick up on, and that kind of thing that sometimes reflects in his podcast. Like the one with the porn star, it was just, why? But at the same time, Mike, because of the insular nature with the way he had to focus on basketball, is like he has not been given credit for being the guy who can adapt and survive in basketball the way he has. And the fact that he's come back in 2 years in a row with largely healthy years, and really hasn't shown, knock on wood, any hint of any ill effects from the back. And he has just been able to be that warrior on the basketball team as far as health and being there for every game is absolutely great. And that's not to minimize his other contributions, because his other contributions are, let's face it, Nuggets don't win this series if Michael Porter Jr. doesn't have the absolute, I mean, he averaged 22 points a game. He absolute consistency that he did. He was the most, other than Jokic, and Jokic had his ups and downs for his level, the most consistent player we have seen on this team. And that consistency, the Nuggets don't win without it. And in fact, I'd argue that if Mike doesn't go on that 12-point run in the third quarter, Nuggets, period, do not win this game. And they're playing a game on Thursday in L.A. And then we are opening ourselves up to a world of issues. Michael Porter Jr. brought his A game. And his A game is what won the Nuggets this series. Other than Jamal's game-winning shots and Jokic's consistency, Michael Porter Jr., if he's not playing the way he does, this goes a completely different way. And Mike was the X factor. And I hate calling him the X factor, because that kind of diminishes his role. Mike has really been able to make himself indispensable. And if you're... And it's hard for me to say this because I've watched a lot of basketball, and a lot of basketball players are dispensable. They're great. They're great and talented. And you, me, and your average person on the street can't do what they do. But indispensable in NBA basketball is very much different from your average indispensable player, say, in college or any other level of basketball. It's different. There's another level. Most players in the NBA aren't actually interchangeable, and they're dispensable. They are talented, and we can't do it. But they are, in NBA terms, more dispensable. And Michael Porter Jr. has made himself absolutely invaluable to this Denver Nuggets team. No one on this team can do what Mike does. Not a single other person. Not Julian Strother, who is the draft pick, is a darling of Calvin Booth. No one. Mike is unique. And it's a tribute to Tim Connelly for and Arturis Karnisovas for really looking past the medical stuff from the Clippers and investing in Mike, knowing that they were going to have to really baby him with this back. And I don't mean that in a negative way. They had to go a certain approach with this because Mike had to have this attention, and the Nuggets thought they could afford to have that dedication, and they did, and they stuck with it. And what you're seeing right now is the Michael Porter Jr., who is absolutely indispensable to this team, and this team does not win without him. They do not win on the level they are winning right now without Michael Porter Jr. In that third quarter stretch in this game 5 against the Lakers, when it was a 9-point lead and it was looking a lot like the last game, Mike just came in and willed the Nuggets by himself to win. And it wasn't Nikola Jokic. It was Michael Porter Jr. who got him through that. And it reminded me a lot of his third quarter run in Game 5, ironically, against the Miami Heat in the finals, where Mike had those, I believe he scored 9 points in a really quick time span and also had like 3 assists. And he did it by himself. He didn't need Nikola Jokic. He didn't need Jamal Murray for that. He did it by himself. Mike's ability to prove that he can do this is one of the things that make this Nuggets team special. And this is why the Nuggets will be and should be considered the favorites going into any series that they go into. And I'll be previewing their series with the Minnesota Timberwolves coming up in probably the next episode. I think I'll get into that, and we'll talk about them and matchups there. On the second half of the podcast, I'm going to talk about what I mentioned before, how the Nuggets' approach to this game was a little interesting, and we may need to discuss what happened there. But we'll get to that in the second half of the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
I don't blame Nuggets fans for being very frustrated with the Nuggets approach to this series. And I pointed this out many times on Twitter, and people kind of misunderstood what I was talking about, which is, you know, this is, it's Twitter, so that's going to happen. The Denver Nuggets knew they were better than the Los Angeles Lakers, and that was a bad thing. And it turned out to be a bad thing in this series, where they didn't play a single good, complete game. They kind of treated this like they could flip a switch at any time. And their first halves were, especially game four, was not. Game four, I know every Nuggets fan, you know, we're at championship level stuff. Every Nuggets fan should be pissed off the way they approached game four. This should have been a sweep. And the Nuggets gave the Lakers life in a way that they shouldn't be. Now, the Lakers played great. The Lakers made present unique challenges to most teams. They have the playoff know-how of LeBron James. They've got the great play of Anthony Davis and competent role players. But every Nuggets player, every Nuggets fan should be a little annoyed with the way the Nuggets approached this. It was very clear. It was very clear. The Nuggets were very aware that they were better than the Lakers and knew that they should beat the Lakers every time. And I believe that arrogance caught up to them. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I'll call it a spade a spade. It was arrogant. And I think that produced lackluster performances in every single game, including Game 5. Even though the Nuggets this game wasn't as weird, where the Lakers get a semi-big lead in each game. This was actually more similar to Game 1, Game 5 was. But it was, other than the game-winning shot, but the Nuggets just kind of didn't handle their business in a way that they should have, because they treated this as a, we know we're better than you. And some of that is a consequence of the winning streak that they had. I mean, they won the first three games, but they had to come back in every single game. Now, game three is the one where the Nuggets was early in the third, the Nuggets took control of the game and then coasted basically to the end. But every other game in this series, the other four, the Nuggets just had to fight and claw back because they created a hole themselves. And you can see this sometimes with NBA teams where they know that they are better than the other team. They are very aware of it. You can see that awareness. That awareness comes through every single time. I've seen enough basketball. I keep saying this. I shouldn't say this. But I've seen enough basketball to know when a team knows that it's better than the other team. And the competitiveness of a series doesn't necessarily mean there isn't a talent disparity between the two teams. It means that there is an approach that the team that has the better talent doesn't take and doesn't use. And with the Nuggets, you could definitely tell. I tweeted it out during the Game 5. And people, once again, misinterpreted what I was saying, and that's my fault. The Nuggets know they're better than the Lakers. And that was a bad thing. And it was a really bad thing because it didn't cost them, but it was a bad thing for the approach. And I think we all understand that the Nuggets were better, right? Every fan who watched this series and has watched the last, I mean, the Nuggets are 12-1 versus the Lakers going back to late 2022. People can tell that the Nuggets are the better team. This isn't something that is like news to everyone else. What happened though is people became not people, but the Nuggets became used to it And it's not about reading your own, back in the day, it was reading your own press clippings, and it's not like that anymore. But in this case, it was reading your own vibe. And the Nuggets' vibe was, we are better than this team. We don't need to try to win this team. We will beat this team no matter what. And this is something that has seeped into the Nuggets, and it starts from Michael Malone, and it goes all the way down to the equipment manager. It just got to him. It permeated everything with the Denver Nuggets. They knew they were better than the Lakers, and then when they started behaving like that, they almost got caught in a couple games. Particularly game two was embarrassing. Game four was just, there was no need for the Nuggets to have lost that game the way they did. You know, I talked about it on the podcast that it was proof that the Nuggets were so much better than the Lakers when they came all the way back from 23 points down to beat them in the second half of the game, of game two, where Jamal Murray hit that first game-winning shot. Well, when you rely on that and you rely on that switch flipping and you know that you can do that sort of thing, it starts becoming ingrained into you. And maybe in a sense, and I think I'm going to talk about this going into the next series, this was kind of the wake-up call that the Nuggets needed, the over-reliance on flipping the switch, which is probably a bad lesson that they learned last year, because they certainly did it last year. The Nuggets just did, like I said, this team reminds me so much of the Shaq Kobe Lakers. It's just, it's uncanny how much this team reminds me of that three-peat team back in the day. And one of the reasons this was like the Shaq Kobe Lakers is because that team would flip a switch in the playoffs. They would lollygag, especially in their second season, which they ended up having a dominant playoffs in 2001. And then it got really bad in their third season, where they were just, we can take it off, and particularly Shaq. And eventually in 2003, where they got beaten the second round by the San Antonio Spurs, it caught up with them. That lackadaisical approach got them. They got. And that team was mediocre through the entire year, and they were beat by, quite frankly, a better team at that time. So, and that resulted in the changes that they made in that offseason. The Nuggets have become addicted to flipping the switch. And we can all acknowledge it, and we can all see it, like the games they played against Boston this year, and the game they played at home against Milwaukee, and some of these other point-proving games that the Nuggets had, they performed really well, and it's kind of got driven into them more. We can flip a switch and do this at any time. And once you get into that, and once that starts seeping in, you become your own problem, and the Nuggets became their own problem. The Nuggets won a series in five, and once again, it's the most competitive gentleman's sweep in the history of the NBA, as it will probably be spun. But to be honest with you, the Nuggets could have easily won each of these games if they had just given the same effort they gave in, say, the finals last year, or even the Western Conference finals last year. If they just had applied that same thing in every single game, the Nuggets would have easily won every game because they were better than the Lakers. But sometimes that knowledge of knowing that you are better will feed into a detriment that you can't really acknowledge. You know, feeding into it's almost like an ego thing. And sometimes that can come back to bite you in the ass. And I can guarantee you that's exactly why these games were so kind of meh. And the only person, as I discussed in the first segment, that really was consistent the whole thing was Michael Porter Jr., who really has a lot to prove, and he's gone through a lot of shit in his life recently. Obviously, that's something that is weighing on his mind, but the rest of the team just got addicted to switch flipping and got addicted to the fact that they had beaten Lakers so many times in a row. And I mean, folks, it is really hard to beat teams in the NBA that many times in a row. You know, it's not like football where you play once or twice a year. This is you play several times a year. It is really hard, up to and including the playoffs. A team will invariably be able to win a game in a playoff series. you know, aside from the two sweeps that happened around, bracketed around the Nuggets, from the Thunder over the Pelicans to the Timberwolves over the Suns, and the Suns are a mess. You know, the we're going to look back on this and say that the Timberwolves got the most advantageous matchup they could possibly get, because they were playing a imploding Suns team. So, you know, there's a lot of things that I wish the Nuggets would have done differently. But I think in the grand scheme of things, and I really do believe this, this series kind of served as a kind of a warning and a lesson learned. And it's a lesson learned for Michael Malone, too, and the coaching staff. Like, don't arrogantly approach these games, because the Western Conference is that much better this year. You can't take things for granted. And I think it's going to benefit the Nuggets that they're playing a tough opponent, a tough opponent that seems geared to matching up with them specifically. This Timberwolves team seems to be, well, I wouldn't say even seems to be, knowing Tim Connelly, this is exactly what he did. He cobbled together and put together a team that is meant to challenge the Denver Nuggets uniquely. And this is going to be a battle. And I think the Nuggets are aware of this. And I do believe that they are going to be much more consistent in the next series, because they saw what happens when you don't. Yes, the Nuggets only lost one game, but every game was a battle. And you cannot, absolutely cannot, put yourself in that position when you know you're the better team. Sometimes the knowledge that you are better than your opponent is a bad thing. It makes you lazy. It makes you take things for granted. And I do believe the Nuggets were very much guilty of taking things for granted in this series. And yes, the Lakers had some unique challenges they presented to the Nuggets. But folks, this is basically the same team they played last year and handled in a sweep in the Western Conference Finals. And the Nuggets then beat them all three games they played in the regular season. So that arrogance sweeped, kind of crept in. And to be honest with you, that was something that maybe now that they've seen how they struggled in that series, maybe now they know that they can't take things for granted, and they will take the series against the Minnesota Timberwolves all that more seriously. All right, thank you all for joining me on the latest Mortcast. I'm going to be back in a couple days to preview the series against the Minnesota Timberwolves, which starts on Saturday. So hope Ball Arena is popping that night, as the kids say, and we'll be looking forward to that. So be seeing you later.